This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, get him in the air. Hour four. Mark Cuban went on The Jump today, ESPN television show. Talked about how the NBA would treat a situation. A player doesn't want to come back and play. The league's ready to ball. How would you handle that situation and more? We'll get you Mark's thoughts on that. Would like to tell you, pass along the breaking news from about an hour ago, Adam Silver and the league office have informed the Board of Governors July 31st is a target date for return of season. That is the report from The Athletic. So that's you're looking at 2 more months still. We've been in this thing just over 2 months. It seems like forever. I got 2 more months to go before we get – that seems – so are they taking the approach that – we need to see the return to business and what that does to the curve all the way through? Because by that point, we're going to be full back into American business, aren't we?
But then why set a date at all? Because if you're going to be looking into more data that you think is about to come out, then how can you predict what date you're going to return?
I guess it's just you pick a date in the middle. We can't wait forever and we can't do it this week. What's the date in the summer where you'll feel like our attempts to get back to doing business, it'll be clear of what that's done to the curve? And man, that seems like a long time away.
Yeah,
I mean, rec sports are going to be going at it for 2 months by the time they're back in action.
Yeah, I think that they have to get things set up there in Orlando. I think they have to absolutely say, okay, what logistically can we do here? Okay, let's have a plan. What hotels are we using? What courts are we going to use? How are we going to practice? How are we going to shuttle? How, you know, to me, this is just like getting ready for training camp for a football team. You know, you got to think about getting everybody from the Star in Frisco all the way out to California. You know, how are you getting all these teams into one area and where are you going to put all these teams? You know, you have to figure all that. That's going to take some time. And I would like to believe now that they have an idea where they're going to do this, then now they can push full steam ahead here, but it's going to take some time for sure.
Yeah, let's get this baby sorted out and get that ball in the air. I'm sure a lot of people are feeling like that, but you're looking at 2 months, and then heck, on the other side of July, when we should be deep into the NBA offseason, at that point you're looking at playoffs, you're looking at baseball being back on, you're looking at NFL training camps coming together. I mean, that July, August, September run could be glorious. And, you know, nothing compares to the glory of a regular sports calendar. But, hey, you know, if we have to sit out a couple of months, the least they could do is give us a sports paradise to exist in for a couple of months on the backside.
What am I going to do for a couple of – do I have to do the Bundesliga? Is that what I have to do? I gotta do the
NASCAR. What are you doing for the next couple of months?
Yeah, what am I going to do? Part of me was thinking that there was going to come a random day where they were like, hey, 3 weeks, here we go. But that doesn't appear I'm going to get that.
That's what I've been thinking, yeah. I don't know, are we going to get baseball before then? Is baseball going to be back before?
Boy, the arguments that you and I have, if you and I are having those fights, what do you think they're doing with the players and the owners right now?
My gut tells me baseball is going to bag it. For the first time in this discussion, I don't think there's going to be a season.
When we had that discussion, I hate to say it because I know we're the station of the Rangers, but I mean, in my heart, I'm thinking, man, there's people dug. They're just totally dug in right now.
You guys, right? What you do right now? You guys are fear mongering. That's what you're doing.
No,
you are baseball fear mongering.
No, we're not. Not at all.
Baseball's coming.
I'm just telling you, Jeff, if you heard Gavin and I fight the last 2 days about ownership and players and what they should and should not do.
But that's because you hate
each
other.
We're gearing up for another one, too. Listen,
Neither of you are going to be making the decision.
I know, but if we're having this discussion right now, how do you think that, what do you think their discussions are a little deeper than ours?
No, because you guys both, at least 12% of it, you know what you're doing, and you're baiting the other
one.
It's 24 for me and 0 for him, apparently. Okay.
I remain calm. People point out, it's like, Broadus, you're remarkably calm.
Oh, you can bait people while calm.
Oh, I'm just, you know, I was just allowing the general to make his point.
You know what you're doing. Uh-huh. You know what you're doing.
I hear you. Let's get some of this Mark Cuban audio before I feel prompted to stand up here in Studio G and start laying into Broadus again. Very calm here.
Body
blowing. Saying very offensive things.
Yeah. Very calm. I'm not the calm one, by the way. The other guy's the calm one.
I'm not calm either. I'm definitely not calm. If there's a calm exterior, it's
we're arguing about
by
calmness
accident.
Now.
Yeah. Okay, let's jump into this Mark Cuban audio here. We got 5 cuts, and salute to the office ace, Tim Collins, for trimming up these bad boys.
There we go.
He was on The Jump, which is their NBA show with Zach Lowe and those guys. How do you deal? Here's cut one. How do you deal if a player might be hesitant to come back and play this year?
Just honest and transparent, you know, where they have uncertainties, where they have questions without answers. We tell them exactly what we know, you know, and that's the only way to do it. And like you said, there's no fail safe approach, but as long as we lay everything out as we know it. And, you know, the other side of it is the other thing we do know is that the science keeps on getting better and we keep on learning more every day. So between the decision point and when we actually start, we have the opportunity to see improvements there as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, that transparency, the players aren't stupid. They can, you know, look up stuff themselves. So if you're not transparent, you could really create a lot of resentment in a hurry. So you have to act in the best interest of the players. And I think what he's talking about right there, it goes back to the discussion we were just having and why it's got to be late July, is you were trying to talk everybody into the, we can come back, we can do this. And for the people who are the most concerned with the virus, they're not looking at days or weeks. They still need months. And they don't want to be the guinea pigs. So apparently, you know, late July was the date deep enough that everybody was like, okay, we can track the virus now and know with pretty good certainty by the time we get there that maybe it's safe enough.
Come on, guys. Kyle Busch doesn't have corona. Let's go. You know, looking out there. They raced. They got crews, right? They got people still changing the tires, right?
They do.
They're running around. Come on, guys. I'm in a place right now where I just really want my sports back. And I'd like to apologize for my last 10 seconds of talking and say, please do whatever's required to do this.
Well, a lot of people are thinking and feeling that way, though, Jeff. And
come on!
I can't totally shoot it down. We're like 3 or 4 weeks since phase one. The curve hasn't shot up that much, you know? I think we flattened
will,
the
though.
Curve.
It
That's where
will.
This was. 2 months ago, we had to flatten the curve. It's flattened.
I mean, we can do whatever we want, right? Until we freak out the hospitals. We're just trying to not overload
hospitals.
Yeah,
that's
right?
The problem. Yeah, there's
Let's
your problem.
Let's get it on.
There's
Let's
your
go.
Problem.
We don't want to overload the hospitals. We don't want that curve skyrocketing. We also have, you know, business to do. And as long as the curve's not skyrocketing, just bump it forward a little bit more every week, right?
Or
we don't
death.
Need to plan out 8 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. Just bump it forward a little bit more. Go practice next week. Anybody get sick? No? Okay. Maybe we can start this in late July. Cut number 2 from Cubes. How might the league and owners deal with the player that still doesn't want to go after you've been transparent with them?
I don't know, honestly. That's kind of a CBA issue, so that has to be addressed by the league and the players' union. But, again, we just got to be transparent with everything. Of course there's going to be uncertainties. You know, you can look back when Magic Johnson announced he had HIV and looked at the response there. You know, at the beginning, it was really dramatic, and the players were really adamant that they didn't want to play. But as more knowledge came out and there was transparency, guys understood the details.
Hmm. That was a scary time, boys.
That was, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Karl Malone didn't want to be on the Dream Team.
Whoa, that was scary. Hmm.
Yeah. It was unclear, you know, a lot of the news and as education kicked in.
Yeah, we didn't know. I mean, you know so much now. And back then, man, we were so ignorant about a lot of things with that.
And that was a big turning point.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, the Magic Johnson story was a huge turning point in HIV. Okay. But, yeah, you know, I think what they're going to do is say, well, if you don't want to come, then you're just not going to get paid, right? Is that too cold? maybe you can still get 10% of your salary, but I don't know. That seems like way too much. You know, if the league and the union have agreed to this and you don't want to play, we don't have a grievance. We're not going to fine you. We're not going to kick you off the team. We'll see you next year. But for the time being, if you don't want to play, you can't get paid. I think that's where that's going to end up falling.
If I was the league, I would be very mindful of doing that, of not paying guys, you know, even if they don't. I mean, this is an unusual situation, as we all know, but I think you have to be very mindful of decisions that people are making about this.
And so you would pay them something at least?
I think, yeah. I would have to come up with some type of thing like, listen, I respect what you're doing here. I really do. And, okay, this is how I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to give you X amount of money.
And maybe look at it, you know, depending on how your customers, how your fans in your own city are looking at it. And if they feel like the players are absolutely in the right and you should be paying them, maybe it's, you know, a little bit of a tax you pay now for benefit down the road.
Mark Cuban told us this a long time ago, that people are going to be looking at these businesses, that how they treat their employees.
Yes.
Heed those words, Mark. Heed
compassion.
Those words. Exactly. Yeah.
Generation Z and the millennials, that's much more important to them than it is to us.
Yes.
At least generationally speaking. I don't want to get in trouble generalizing again, Broadus. We remember what happened last hour when
you're
I had
the general
about NASCAR.
You sure did.
You know what? Hey, folks, please, don't do that.
You want to take that back yet, Gavin?
No, he does. He has an absolute
I'm
going
to double down if Brian keeps yapping over there.
No, I'm not.
I know what I said.
I know you definitely said
something.
I have
something. A dad. His name ain't Brian Broadus.
Yeah?
Wow. Wow.
Okay, cut three here. How much disagreement is there between the 30 owners and how to resume playing?
Yeah, this is a unique situation. You know, everybody is in a different financial situation personally, so that has an impact. And does that get contentious every now and then? Yeah. You know, have there been screaming battles? Typically only people yelling at me. But, you know, we've done this long enough, and everybody's in it for the same reason with the same goals. So we usually get to a good conclusion.
Okay, right on. Sounds like they continue to process the decisions. And that's what gives the ownership such an advantage in talking with unions, is they all basically have the same priorities, where when you're looking at the players, there is a lot of different people at different points in their careers and different income levels to account for. What's the latest you think a restart could happen? Here's cut four from Mark Cuban with ESPN TV.
I mean, you can accelerate. I mean, I think we have time. I mean, we can start playing August, you know, for that matter, because we don't have all the travel restrictions. Everybody in one, maybe two, but probably one location. You don't have to fly across country, you know, give everybody one day off if you need be. You play multiple games in one day. So you can compress it in ways that we never were able to before. So I'm not, you know, I don't think like there's a drop dead date, you know, maybe September, you know, August, start by August 1st, you know, in order to make it. So that gives us plenty of time.
Did he say more than one game in a day?
Yeah.
Wow.
His team's playing more than one game a day?
Yeah, that's what he said. I don't know exactly how he meant it.
I think what the setup is going to look like, what we see with the summer leagues, that they start at noon and then they go all the way into the night playing games. So you're going back-to-back-to-back games and stuff like that. That's what they're talking about.
That would be awesome, especially tuning into NBA TV on a weekend day like that where you don't have anything to do but just take in all the league action. Like a Christmas Day or an MLK Day type
Love
of thing that they've done in the NBA in the
Absolutely.
Past.
Absolutely.
That would be crazy if you had the players playing in multiple games in the same day. It would be like youth sports tournament formats. And only kids can put up with that and still come up with the energy to play later on in the day. I can't imagine the injury concerns and the bad play you'd get later on at night.
Yeah, there's some parents that get into that, though, too. I've been with those parents. Haven't you, General?
They're playing multiple games in a day?
Oh, no, they love the multiple games. They love the fact, let's keep going the tournament. I'm like,
Let's go home. Those kids are beat by Sunday night.
Yeah.
The two champions are like crawling across the field to get back on.
You see what you're going to have to do to win?
Yeah.
And you go, and they're like, yeah, let's go take on them. And I'm like, guys, this is not going to end well for us.
I hear you. Yeah. You can kind of get the vibe on that. Like, boy, I really wish that semifinal game had gone differently. do you see a more traditional playoff scenario, or should the league experiment? Here's Mark Cuban's answer on that.
I don't think it'll be regular because, you know, this is our chance really to experiment and learn and, you know, with unique circumstances, unique opportunities. So I'm confident we'll take advantage of it and do something differently. It's just, I just think that's smart from a business perspective. And I think the players want that as well. As long as you give players something to play for, I think that, you know, they'll recognize that this is an opportunity, because it's not inconceivable that a team that was, you know, at the bottom of the standings can all of a sudden make a run and get hot. And really, you know, coming back like this favors younger teams, because it's going to be easier for a young player to get, you know, get it back and get that athleticism going and get ready than it is an older player. So anything's possible. So I think expanding that opportunity would be good for the league and can create some incredible excitement for fans.
All right, there he is, Mark Cuban on The Jump on ESPN. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We have the 7 worst decisions made by NFL teams since the draft. Get you that. Of course, coming up at 5:40, it'll be time for Jeff's unnamed segment of the day. So a lot of good stuff to look forward to as we continue to broadcast here with you on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back, Nation. It's time to get you the biggest mistakes made in the NFL since the draft. And boy, some of these teams really stepped in it. You tell me, Jeff, Brian, how stupid do you think these moves are on a scale of 1 to 10?
Stupid.
Segment's brought to you by GetMortgageReady.com. All right, we go to Bleacher Report here for this topic. Number one, Cardinals' decision to not use Isaiah Simmons at defensive back. They're going to plug him in at linebacker. Do you think that's stupid?
That's not stupid.
No.
He is the – we say this about a lot of guys, and we may exaggerate, and it may be hyperbole. This is not hyperbole. He is the perfect modern linebacker. Mm. Perfect modern linebacker. There's not a running back in the league he can't cover out of the backfield. He can cover tight ends for you if you ask him to do that. He can fly sideline to sideline. He's a great blitzer. Get him towards the line of scrimmage in a linebacker spot and let that dude go to work.
So it's only stupid if you would, like, make him a linebacker and then make it a really simplified job, like tackle ball carrier?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I think where you have to be careful with him, and you saw him play so many different positions there, Brent Venables' scheme at Clemson. You know, I think I would put him someplace – and just let him flourish. And then if you want to kind of move him into some other defensive back roles and stuff like that, but let him kind of get comfortable doing it. And then once he does, you're going to have a hell of a player. So I think that the Cardinals are doing the right thing by playing him at that linebacker. Let him be near that line. Ooh. Let him affect the way things go. He could tackle close there. He could blitz. I mean, there's so many things you can do with him.
Okay, so Bleacher Report, 0-for-1 here in the 7 worst decisions made by NFL teams since the draft.
Well, I mean, you did pick a Bleacher Report article, so they're not going to do great. I mean, I know they've gotten better than they were a couple of years ago, but still.
It might evolve into a media watchdog segment for us, though.
Okay. Yeah. Something like that. 240, I tried to do that, right?
Okay, number two, the Jags signed quarterback Mike Glennon. I didn't even know he was in the NFL.
Oh, who cares? I mean, that one, is it stupid? Yeah, probably, but 60% of the backups in the league are just jobbers who teams are like, oh, yeah, he's played quarterback for a while, right? And he's watched other people play quarterback? Sure, bring him in. There are a few capable backups. Some teams have a developmental guy that might turn into something, but for the most part, if you made it to the league and got through a first contract and started 3 games, you get 6 more years of checks to watch somebody play, and they'll pretend that you're a good veteran presence.
Yeah, according to Bleacher Report's Chris Rowland, they were the 32nd rank combination when you talk about their quarterbacks, their 1 and their 2.
Shots fired at Minshew Mania.
Yeah. Not very good at all. Mike Glennon's made a lot of money for not doing much in the NFL.
Him, Chase Daniel, God, there's a bunch of them.
Chase Daniel's way better than Mike Glennon, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's better. But, I mean, that dude just keeps popping like $7 million salaries every year to not play.
Must be good.
Golly.
Okay, I think it might actually be smart, because if it's not Minshew, you don't want a random veteran keeping you around 500. You want to be horrible. So you get a guy who's kind of a presence in the QB room. Maybe he can help Minshew. You know, it kind of looks like on paper you got a decent backup there. But it's kind of a tank move. Either Minshew works or we're horrible, 3-13.
Yeah. Or Minshew works and we're horrible.
it's so sad because Dave Caldwell, who's the GM there, he's going to get fired. You know, I mean, he tried to go get a quarterback and he couldn't get there. And now he's like, oh, I got to play with this, you know?
Yeah.
And he's going to get fired and somebody else is going to step in and, you know, and probably do pretty well there.
Can he hang his hat on Minshew, or was that somebody else's pick?
Well, you need Minshew for his sake to play well to keep mm-hmm. his job. But if he tanks, if they're no good, then he's out of a job. And like I say, Jeff Kavanaugh is walking in to running the Jacksonville Jaguars.
What up?
You know, so, I mean.
That would be exceptional if you could just get him an interview.
Oh, I
Jeff
think
traded Leonard Fournette today and a 7 for a 7. Jeff.
I mean, we wouldn't want to lose him from the show, Brian, but if he could just get an interview.
I'd still do the show. I'd do the show. From there.
You know what's funny? I think Jeff would actually do pretty well in an interview if you did. Because what they usually do is they ask you to evaluate players. They'll give you like some players to evaluate, and then you can find a way to like, oh, what do you think about these guys? And then Jeff can explain it and be just fine. Yeah.
Bum. Yeah. We're in bad shape, guys. We need to lose a lot. Let's try to get Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence in here.
Yeah.
Maybe Trey Lance, the North Dakota State kid. Look, we got to start over. Let's start shipping guys out of town.
North Dakota State kid. They got a quarterback, right?
Yeah, they do.
They got a quarterback.
You'd go drinking and karaoke with the owner.
Right.
You'd have that thing locked down within 10 hours.
Is Mr. Khan down for some karaoke and some
The son's
fireball?
A lot of fun. The son is a lot of fun. He is. I've been with that cat. Yeah.
Who did he get in a fight with? He got in a Twitter fight with a player.
Oh, yeah.
Was that Calais Campbell or somebody?
Ngakoue.
Ngakoue.
Yeah. He's like, what?
That'd be me, too. I'd be on Twitter, and I'd be like, shut up, player. Listen, maybe if you played worth half a damn. Like, right now it physically hurts writing these checks because you kind of suck. And
General,
it was the old GM who signed you.
What we need is him to get the job and then him to move to there at TPC there, Sawgrass, and then we could go just you and I hang out, play golf all the time.
That's the good life right
there.
There
we go. There we
go. Yeah, just get me on the payroll somehow, you know? Just fudge something.
Medical analyst. Tell the owner it's really important.
Yeah.
You'll be the medical analyst. Gavin will be the guy who just says during the draft, hey, you're about to draft a guy. How many games do you miss in college? 11. Don't pick him.
I want the general to be the guy that interviews kids at the combine. You know?
Oh, that'd be fun.
He'd go too easy on them.
No, he wouldn't. He'd make them feel so uncomfortable. They're like, what did he just say?
I don't know how I would play that. Yeah, because I don't know if I would actually want them to be uncomfortable while in the same room with them.
No, we need them uncomfortable. We need them to feel that way. We want to know how they react.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Hey, whatever it takes, just get me on the payroll in some way. That's the gravy train right there working for
an
NFL team.
You want to send Choppy in there with the player. Be like, hey, what do you do in the bedroom, bro? Let me tell you something.
It's way too much work to prep for these interviews.
You take these chews?
Yeah. Okay. You blue chew that, you put this in there, and you're ready to rock.
I want a job where I can give you an answer within about 13 seconds of Google. Boom. Number three here, the worst decisions made by an NFL team since the draft. Number three, the Eagles exercising their fifth-year option on Derek Barnett. $10.1 million, and they say he's been a disappointment since flashing his rookie year. I know that was one of those guys that slipped in the draft because he didn't have the right combine numbers and was impressive his rookie year, but hasn't followed through. They're apparently desperate for D. Lyman, though, because they're willing to give him $10 million.
Yeah, that is a lot for him.
I mean,
he's okay, but $10 million is a big number for him. But if you feel like you don't have a lot at that position, and so you're like, guys, he's going to play, let's just go ahead. But, you know what? Because you could decline that and sign Clowney or Griffin.
You could.
So, I'll call that dumb.
All right. 1 for 3 then. Look at Bleacher Report. They're on the board here. They're trying to generate some content. We're over here scoreboarding their work. And you know what? I would say 1 for 3, only good in baseball, not mm-hmm. good in journalism.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
The media watchdog is warming up. He's back there in his kennel. He's ready to run out, sick some serious balls. Okay, number four. The Bears haven't signed a proven veteran guard, going with Trubisky and Foles and apparently don't have an interior line there in Chicago. I'd say that's a bad move, but.
Yeah, and that's the problem with Chicago is when you've watched them, I remember last year watching them play, no way in hell I thought that they would beat the Cowboys, but they did. The offensive line was just a mess. You know, who's the guy they're going to hang their hat on here? You know, and I just never could find that guy. And when you're talking about a quarterback, and we've said this a bunch, if you can affect the middle of the pocket, you can make these quarterbacks do some bad things. And, you know, if you neglect that guard play, the center play, you're going to have issues. And the Bears have done a really poor job with that, in my opinion.
It's not like signing those guys.
Yeah.
It's not like there's hundreds of offensive linemen out there that are good, but at least try. How are you trying to develop a quarterback with a mediocre offensive line?
That's exactly right. You know, and that's what, when I watch these teams play, I'm thinking, okay, well, how did Dak Prescott have success early in his career? It's because
protected.
Yeah, you give
these, make a ham sandwich back.
Yeah,
there.
You give these guys an opportunity, and you know, and I just look at what's going on, you know, with the Bears. The names are just guys. It's not even, you know, Cody Whitehair, the center, is a good player, but other than that, the Bears are just, it's just guys.
Okay, so Bleacher Report now through four, I think, has two hits. That is stupid by the Bears. What the hell are you thinking? Nick Foles is no spring chicken. He can't run away from pressure. Can't play with pressure.
No.
Give him a great offensive line. He can win the Super Bowl for you. Figure it out. Number five, Texans released safety Tayshon Gibson. Much has been made of Bill O'Brien's high-profile gaffes there with, you know, bringing in David Johnson, moving out DeAndre Hopkins, giving Laremy Tunsil 10% more than the next tackle. But last offseason, the Texans signed Gibson to a 3-year deal. They released him days after April's draft, which saved them $3.2 million, but came with $4.3 million in dead money. So, and apparently he really helped their pass defense last year, and as soon as they let him go, the Bears swooped right in and signed him. But they're willing to pay more for him to not be on the team against the cap. More signs of Bill O'Brien leaving
Bill's
much to
just,
be desired.
Bill's just not, you know... Is Bill O'Brien a good coach? I think that's a good question. But when you move to the next step of that, the answer is, like, you know, is Bill O'Brien good at running a football team? No. Why is he doing it? Don't know.
The owner died. His family doesn't know yet.
Oh, man. They'll find out.
Yeah, the problem with the Texans, though, with their secondary guys, is the fact that they had done a good job of bringing guys in, you know, drafting guys, developing guys, and now it's got to the point where they've lost all those guys, and they've had to go out and kind of raid other teams, you know,
really?
and get other players. Yeah, I mean, they've lost guys that have been actually pretty good players to other, well, and now they just go out and they get mediocre players coming back. So, yeah, it's that's been an issue for them. That's a good front. The problem is that secondary's got a lot of issues, so.
They've been on a good run winning the division.
Yeah, they have. That's how Bill O'Brien saves his job.
If they can keep winning it, they'll say, you know, what's the problem? I don't see. And you can overcome a couple of bad decisions. I think that's why they were still pretty good last year. This year should be the tipping point with that. And then six, the Saints giving Taysom Hill $16 million guaranteed. That's a horrible decision. Bleacher Report rallied. They're 4-for-6 right here. Decent average. He's completed 6 of 13 passes for 119 yards and a pick. Sean Payton loves him. That's Sean Payton's kryptonite. No coach, no GM, no team builder is perfect. And for some reason.
And he drafted a backup for Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
Sean Payton went and got a dude that's a Taysom Hill clone to be Taysom Hill's backup.
Yeah, Tommy Stevens, yeah.
Yeah, when he has Jameis Winston to back up Drew Brees and then Taysom Hill to do bits, he got a backup for the bit guy. Is he about to carry four quarterbacks, two of who can only do bits? What are we doing, Payton?
Well, what's going to happen is he's going to end up, you know, they get an extra a couple of extra roster spots, right? We get two extra spots.
Yeah, but you do have to, like, if you want to get him as number 54 or 55, I believe you still got to get him through waivers.
Got to get him through waivers. Okay, well, if that's the case, then, I mean, people are going to try and trick Payton here. If they think Tommy Stevens is a guy or whoever he puts out, people always will say, oh, well, hey, if Sean had a plan for that guy, yeah, maybe we should have that plan too. So Tommy Stevens will probably get claimed if he's put on waivers because somebody will say, wow, if Sean's got that idea, maybe we should think that idea.
What an idiot, though. That's just – that's crazy, isn't it?
What, that type of thought?
The money to Taysom Hill.
Oh,
drafting
no,
his backup.
Absolutely, yeah. It's
– He's not an idiot, though. Sean Payton is not an idiot.
He's not an idiot, but like I say, the Jameis Winston, you know, A+.
Yeah.
And then you go, what? You know, and I understand he's got a plan for Hill. You know, if he thinks that Hill's going to be his guy, if that's the case, then
Ben,
maybe
he's an idiot.
Maybe well, that, you know what? The coaches believe.
Yeah.
These coaches believe that, you know what? I know this guy better than you know this guy.
Well, you know, I'm a big believer in having that guy at the top of your organization that's a visionary and is passionately going to drive his agenda. I think that's where genius is. But there's a lot to be said about the system of checks and balances when you look at some of the Bill O'Brien moves and then that Sean Payton move. If you're making a decision with a half dozen dudes around a boardroom, that one doesn't get through. It gets voted down 5-1. Okay, Jeff, it's time for your unnamed segment. Yeah. Where are you going with it?
Boy, life-changing news for everyone listening is next.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation coming up at 6 o'clock. The best DFW natives who went on to play for the Cowboys. That'll be a cool one coming up at 6. It's time now for Jeffrey's unnamed segment of the day. Here he is, Kavanaugh.
All right, guys. I don't want to hype this up too much, but this may be the most important segment I've ever done.
Look out.
Yeah. So, first...
You ranking the sauces again?
No. More important. So, couple of things that I got to make sure I get to. One, perhaps the biggest lie ever told that's going to really affect all of us big time. But before I get to that one, I got to do the biggest news of the day, which is they have done a study now on the right way to eat ice cream. Okay.
All right.
You guys ice cream guys? I mean, I'm ice cream guy. I don't eat it often, but God, I love it. I just don't buy it often, but when I do, it doesn't last long. Love me some chocolate chip cookie dough. I love your standard strawberry ice cream. I even love the sherbet.
I don't think I ever bought ice cream in my adult life before Abby came around. Now,
how glad are you that you do, though?
Right? Now it's there.
God, it's so good.
It's glorious.
It's ungodly good. And I don't know why. When I go to the grocery store, I buy groceries, and I never even think about ice cream. I don't even consider ice cream something that like I'm into or I really like until I have it. And then that gallon, you got about 48 hours, brother. And I'm going to handle you.
You ever just walk by it and get a spoon? Just do one quick spoon because you've just been thinking about it?
Well, that's how I eat. Like, I eat it out of the gallon. I don't scoop into a bowl. Like, I'm just living by myself. So you eat half of the gallon and then – or gallon's a little one, right? I'm talking about whatever the big tub
half
is.
Half gallon. Yeah.
I'm getting after the big tub.
Not the pint.
Oh, God. The pint's the little one.
Right.
Yeah. I'm gallonning and I'm going at it.
Jeff, let me ask something real quick, though. I brought those drumsticks over one time and I saw them was in your freezer. You never touched those.
No, I ate them.
Did you?
Yeah.
They were there for like, we had like three playoff games where they never even got touched.
Took a little bit of work though, because those are the ones that have the chocolate coating
with
and then
the nuts.
Some sort of nuts.
Yeah.
So what I had to do is take a steak knife every time I ate one and chip off every nut and then eat it.
So you had to do surgery on them before you ate them.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I'm like, man, this guy hates ice cream.
No, just had to do work on the nuts.
I don't believe those nuts belong in dessert. You know,
I don't either.
It's like a health food.
So Dr. Sarah Kemp is a sensory scientist, and she has discovered the exact way that we should be eating ice cream for it to taste the best that it can.
Milkshake?
Formula. What's that?
The Blizzard.
Well, no, not the type of, no.
Good guess.
The actual process of ingesting the ice cream.
All right.
Blizzards are good. That's the one they hold upside down, right? Long
spoon.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Mm.
So the formula is parentheses I -14 degrees C plus 1/2 S plus UDS plus 12 S end parentheses times 2 equals MF star. This is how you create the sensory experience and maximum flavor.
Physics.
Now, if you're not smart enough like I am to decode what those letters mean, that's cool. I can break it down into the 7 steps.
Whew, thankfully.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. Number one, first, you should leave the ice cream for 15 minutes after getting it out of the freezer. That'll get you to negative 14 degrees Celsius. That's where you want to be. Makes it soft to the touch. You don't have to aggressively dig at it with the spoon. And it releases the aroma molecules. So take it out, 15 minutes. I know a lot of you aren't patient enough. You take the ice cream. You want to eat it right now. But if you want the best experience, give me 15.
You scoop it, then you leave it. You put the gallon back in the freezer. Otherwise, it's going to do that half-melted thing and then refreeze.
Yeah.
There'll be that weird film on your ice cream.
Let me ask you this. How about the ride from the supermarket back home? Does that count as part of the 15 minutes?
I'll be honest. It sounds like you're both going after the scientist already. The person who does this for a living. Like, Gavin's here trying to scoop out and then wait 15 minutes, whereas she's telling you wait 15 minutes before you scoop.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Okay.
Now, maybe this is only for a pint, because to your point, you'd hate to warm up the whole thing and then go back in for that period of
time. Let's see where she's going with this, though. She might be one of those paid scientists that's not a real scientist. There's just an agenda.
Okay.
That, like, a think tank wants her to come to a conclusion.
Let's see. We'll see if at the end there's, like, a plug for an off-brand ice cream.
Mm.
Number two, using a teaspoon. You want a teaspoon here. Scoop out a small amount of the ice cream, about half of the spoon. You're going to go 15-minute wait, half a teaspoon on your scoop.
Wow. This is foreplay to your dessert.
Well, you want the full sensory experience.
I suppose.
She's a sensory doctor.
Okay.
Number three. Then place the teaspoon upside down into your mouth. So the ice cream touches your tongue, taste buds first. If you go right side up, you're not hitting tongue first. You're not getting a direct hit. And you want a direct hit with ice cream onto taste bud.
So I could see that.
Upside down spoon, and you hit it that way. That's number three.
She's one of those really obnoxious eaters where she puts it in her mouth and goes, mmm.
I'd hate to take her to dinner.
No, she's a scientist that's trying to improve your life.
Yeah.
Golly, I tell you, it's the most important story I've ever done, and what do? Crap on science.
No dinner plans with her.
Number four, move the ice cream around your mouth.
Mm, okay.
Taking note of the cold sensation and the creamy texture. You want to notice. This is very much mindfulness here on number four.
It is, yes.
Let it move around there. Really recognize the novelty. Touch everywhere. Get the cold. Get the texture. Number five.
I should get teeth problems.
Hey, shut up! Number five. Inhale through your mouth so it reaches all your receptors.
Get the smelling flavors in there, too.
Yeah,
see that?
Yes.
Are you guys both imagining a gal who bare minimum is three bills?
Oh, no question.
Just massive.
Yeah.
She's going through this much to enjoy food?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Female version of me.
Only because there's a picture in the article of someone eating ice cream the way she's saying, but it doesn't say that it's her, but I've seen this person, and so it's the one I'm picturing, and it's better than that.
Okay.
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 Guess it's just me then.
Number six. No, if she's 300 bills, she'd be using a tablespoon, and she'd be doing full scoops.
It's a wooden spoon.
She's doing a half a tea. She'd be using one of those big plastic ice cream scoopers. And number six, keep the ice cream in your mouth for a full 12 seconds to experience maximum flavor. Go ahead and relish that a little bit. Don't be in a hurry to swallow it. Go ahead. Let it marinate, you know?
Yeah, you do have to have a good gum line to appreciate all that, right? I'm just looking for the strategic spots around my mouth that don't have exposed tooth nerves.
Yeah. Where it just put you drop to one knee when it hits you.
Yeah.
Oh, God!
That's the worst.
Oh, God.
I thought for sure, when last time I went to the dentist, I was like, I'm going to need like four root canals.
Because when
I have something sweet or cold, I'd be like, man, this is horrible.
Yes.
But they told me it's just that my teeth don't line up perfectly, so it's been doing damage to the gums.
Yeah.
And Sensodyne or whatever.
I need to get that Sensodyne stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Are you at all self-conscious about your teeth?
Not as much as I should be.
Okay, so then we used to play football against a guy who had bad teeth. They were kind of crooked, and we referred to him as Yuck Mouth. He didn't like that.
Yeah.
Number seven, final step on the ice cream. Repeat with every bite to build up the full ice cream taste profile and sensation. And that's how you should eat ice cream.
It's going to be 1:30 in the morning by the time you're done with that bowl.
She needs individual cups. You know, the little cups you get 12 in a bag? She needs those.
Yeah, and those are always a little bit disappointing because they get that frost around the whole thing way too easily.
Yeah, they get a little too frozen.
Yeah, you can't leave them in the freezer for too long.
Freezer burn.
Mm-hmm. The only other story that I had to get to today, otherwise I'd be doing a disservice to the people that listen to this fine broadcast, and especially the 540 segment, which is definitely not Jeffrey time, but more of like a time for Jeffrey to do something. Mm-hmm. The biggest lie in the history of America. You're thinking something with probably greater consequences than what this story is, but Kylie Jenner.
Oh, yeah.
Youngest billionaire ever.
She's a fraud.
Bull bleep.
Oh, really?
Kylie ain't a billionaire
all fabricated.
At all.
Yeah.
She, you know, she used bogus tax returns to earn the crown of the youngest ever self-made billionaire.
Get her IRS.
A coveted title that Forbes yanked today. They said, sorry about that. They published a scathing report accusing the 22-year-old and her momager, Kris Jenner, of lying about her net worth and earnings of her makeup line. They now estimate Kylie is worth just under $900 million, which is nothing. She's basically broke. She doesn't even have $900 million, much less a billionaire.
Her identity is shattered. Yes. Quality of life interrupted.
Yeah.
So a source says that what was happening here is the cosmetic industry, everybody knew that the numbers on it were crap, but it's like, yeah, whatever. They can say whatever they want. But the company that bought it from her, Forbes got their earning reports, and they're like, oh, it sold like a third of what Kylie had been telling us that it made. And the whole thing was literally to get her on the cover of Forbes. Hmm. The family decided we want the cover of Forbes. The way we're going to do it is we're going to pretend to be a billionaire, even though we're not. And so they went to work convincing Forbes, hey, she's a billionaire. Put her on the cover of Forbes. Oh, you Kardashian Jenners, have I had enough of you.
They're just working the game. Yeah, they've worked the game all the way up to be billionaires and all that. So
you notice every time that Khloe gets cheated on, her face, she gets a new face?
Well, I mean, that's the least you could do for the gal, right? You've cheated on her. She's not as pretty as her sisters.
I don't think the men are buying it for her. I think it's what she's doing. She goes home. She's like, cheat on me, will you? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go be hot. And so she gets new eyes and changes the shape of her head and all sorts of stuff.
You know, and I guess we make fun of it, but if you could tell me we've perfected plastic surgery, nothing weird's going to look about you. You're just going to be like 2 points better looking. Everybody take that deal, you know? They just fall into some sort of a trap because it's hard to look at yourself in the mirror and see the weird stuff that everybody else can do once you've had too much plastic surgery. There's something weird that happens there.
Yeah, you don't see, you see it and you're telling people like, yeah, it's so great that I have no lines on my forehead and I really love what they did when they tightened up my eyes. It's great that it looks like my skull is going to rip through the skin. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, and then her girlfriend's like, oh, and your lips are so amazing. I'm going to do that too.
Yeah, and it's great that you had to put in double doors at the front door to get your lips through them. there's that. That's the most important news of the day.
There it is from Jeff Kavanaugh every day around that time. We'll take a stroll down memory lane. The best DFW natives who have gone on to star for the Cowboys is coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.